Welcome to a CEO with a disability, you guys. And I want to welcome Raphael. And Raphael is going to share his story. And so I'm going, Raphael, take it away.
Do you want to ask me any question or just
I just want to have you share your story, then we'll get into the questions.
Okay. So I was born in Tel Aviv in Israel. I went to primary school and high school, and then I served my country 3 years in the Israel Defense Forces as a soldier. And thereafter, I started my academic career. I did my BA and master's in political science, sociology, and anthropology at Tel Aviv University. And then I decided that I need to go abroad for my PhD. I had several offers from the United States and from England. And eventually I decided that I will go to Oxford. And I studied my DPhil in Oxford. And thereafter I returned to Israel, taught there for many years. And some years ago, in 2007, I immigrated together with my family to England, and presently I'm professor and chair in politics at the University of Hull, which is in Yorkshire, in the northeast of England. I am director, founding director of the Middle East Study Center. In addition to my academic activities, I am a concerned citizen, so I've been active in many petitions and many pleas and many campaigns that relate to civic affairs. And if you want, I can speak about those things as well.
Well, that's fascinating. And you're originally from Tel Aviv, and with everything going on in the Middle East right now, and I hate to be the devil's advocate on this one, but I know it hits the people of Tel Aviv. I know it hits your heart. Let's just put it that way. And so what's your take on everything that's going on in the Gaza Strip right now and everything that's going on in your home country?
I'm going to do a small detour, and then I'm going to answer your question.
Okay.
One of the things that I did, I joined politics. And I joined politics in the 1980s. And I worked with some leaders of Israel who served in very high position in the country, including prime ministers and presidents of the country. And I became a peace activist. So I've been a peace activist before I've been an academic. I believe that the Israeli occupation is wrong. I think that the Israeli occupation of the West Bank is something that should not happen. I supported the withdrawal of the Israeli forces and withdrawal of many of the Israeli settlements from the West Bank. I think the occupation is wrong, first and foremost, for the Palestinians, but it's also wrong for Israel because it undermines Israeli democracy. It's very difficult to maintain democracy and occupation at the same time because one comes at the expense of the other. So I've been a vocal voice in the 1990s for a solution that was prevalent at that time, which was called Gaza First, which meant that Israel should evacuate Gaza from the settlements and from the Israeli Defense Forces. And this would be a test case to see whether after Gaza we can continue the same motion also to the West Bank. It didn't play out, unfortunately. The campaign was lost, although it was led by some very senior politicians, but they did not receive enough popular support, public support from the Israeli population. Since 2000, I joined the movement that calls for two-state solution, and I still believe in two-state solution. So this is something for me. And in terms of my academic activities, my academic activities since 2013 supplement my peace activities. My peace activities never cease. They continue to all the time. I continue to be a peace activist. I try to promote ideas of peace, reconciliation, and tolerance between the two sides. In 2013, I decided to start writing a book. The title of the book is Resolving the Israeli-Palestinian Conflict. So that's a high toll to meet. And this book is based on archives in London, in Jerusalem, in Washington, in Oslo. I visited all these archives. And also on 90 interviews that I had until now with decision makers from the highest echelons, Israel, Palestine, United States, United Kingdom, Egypt, Jordan, Sweden, and Norway. So you understand it, this is my preoccupation. I devote a lot of my time to peace activities. Yeah. One of the things that bugged me when I'm writing the book is not finished yet, I'm halfway through. So, you know, it's my magnus opus. It's something that is taking a lot of my time. The book should be published by 2025 by Cambridge University Press. So I have a year and a half to finish. And until now, I wrote about six chapters of the book. I'm halfway through. One of the things that bugged me when I was writing, and indeed it's one of the major issues for me, is how do you deal with spoilers? Because spoilers are very, very good in spoiling the atmosphere. And unfortunately, the peace process that started in 1993 with the Oslo Accords, when Israel and the PLO signed the accords, a treaty that's supposed to lead to coexistence, if not peace, but at least coexistence, they don't materialize. And it don't materialize because there are spoilers on both sides, on Israel and Palestine. So I devote much of my time in the book to address this issue of what to do with spoilers. And I wanted to focus on the West Bank because I thought that Gaza under Hamas, which is a terrorist organization, is too risky for Israel. Israel cannot sign peace with an organization that is, its existence, its devotion, is the demolition of the country. Because as you may know, Hamas never recognized the state of Israel. When you look at the Hamas books, how they teach the students, the children, Israel is not mentioned. It's all Palestine. And the slogan from the river to the sea means Israel does not exist. Palestine is going to take over. So for me, it's very, very problematic to try to strike a deal with an organization that is intent to destroy you and not recognize you as people, you as a human being. And then came October 7th of last year. October 7th of last year was a game changer. It was a game changer for Israel. It is a game changer for Palestine, especially for the Gazans. But the event of October 7th was unprecedented in the history of Israel. Not only it was unprecedented in the history of Israel, it was quite special and unique in the history of the Jewish people. Because in the entire history of the Jewish people of 4,000 years, there were not many days, with the exception of the Holocaust, you know, 40, 44, 45, not many days in which the Jewish life, 1,200 people were lost. It doesn't happen, luckily for us. Doesn't happen a lot. So it's a major shock. It's a major shock for Israel. Israel is under trauma because Hamas went on the morning of Shabbat, Saturday, the day, with the intention to kill as many Jews as they can, to rape as many Jewish women as they can, and to kidnap as many Jewish people and take them to Gaza. That was the intention of of this operation. Unfortunately, the Israeli army, was supposed to protect the borders and secure the borders, failed. Miserably failed. They misread.
Miserably failed. Oh, yes, I miserably failed.
Yeah, colossal failure. And as a result of that, Israel failed its citizens, because the prime obligation of any government is first and foremost to protect the borders and to provide people with security. I mean, how would the United States feel if one day there will be an attack from Mexico and they're going to kill tens of thousands, you know, compared to population? Israeli population is 9.3 million people. You are 350 million. So if you do it proportionally, that means that on that day they're going to kill tens of thousands of Americans. They're going to rape tens of thousands of women, and they're going to kidnap tens of thousands of Americans back to Mexico. How would the United States retaliate to that? I'm sure that you will not be complacent and say, well, you know, let's try to have peace with them.
No.
I think that the reaction is going to be a bit different than that.
And
So this is what brought about the Israeli reaction. And the Israeli reaction has been very harsh to the Palestinians. And now we have two people in the trauma. We have the Israeli population in trauma, and I am in contact with Israeli, with some of my friends and family and colleagues in Israel on a daily basis. I'm telling you, Israeli society is in trauma, deep trauma.
Yeah.
And now the Palestinians are in deep trauma because the Israeli retaliation to this October 7th has been very, very harsh. So now we have 1% of the Gazan population that are dead, apparently, according to the report. They claim that more than 30,000 people died in the Israeli attack. That's out of 2.3 or 2.4 million Palestinians. So that means 1% of this, of the Palestinian population dead in Gaza. We have about 80-85% of the Gazans who became refugees in this very small place, the Gaza Strip. Many people are wounded, and many people are starving. So this is very harsh. And in terms of humanitarian concerns, of course, any human should be concerned. I hope that out of this tragedy, not now, because now, as I said, the two people are in trauma, but out of this tragedy, when the two people will collect themselves, maybe there will be a silver lining and we will be able to progress forward. But I think that the progression forward needs to be helped, because it cannot be done only by Israel and Palestine. They are unable, that the level of trust between them is below zero. There's a lot of violence, a lot of bloodshed. So they need help and support from other countries. They need the help of support from the United States. And I think they needed the help of support for Arab countries who are concerned about their brethren. And they should be concerned about brethren. But beyond the hyperbole and the nice words, they should put words into deeds and actually do something to try to resolve the conflict.
No, I agree, because between the Palestinian and Israeli, it's the confidence is shaken, and they don't necessarily need hands out. They need help in other countries backing them up and supporting them. It's the simple fact. I mean, I'm here in the U.S. I'm in Phoenix, Arizona, and I don't think that if the Mexico wish to do the same thing that the Palestinian did on the Gaza Strip and in Israel, I believe that the U.S. would say, let's not be nice about it, let's fight back, and especially here in Arizona, because we're close to the border. But I believe those international countries need help, they need support, they need the humans, need love. And certainly, those and PTSD is a disability all on its own. Certainly, with those with physical disabilities who are in that country, need help. And now we've got PTSD at the yin yang because of everything they've been put through and saw with their own two eyes.
Yeah. I agree with all that you said.
Yeah. So I believe that Raphael's work is so instrumental and so needed, and he's basically teaching what we should have been taught in school a long time ago, how to be nice to our international neighbors, because even though I'm in the U.S., and I will say this publicly, I don't think the U.S. is being nice to their international neighbors. I don't. And it breaks my heart every single time I hear it on the New York Times podcast, The Daily, because I'm like, oh, there's another one, and then the president of the U.S. doesn't want to go and help, and then the ex-president, who might as well be kicked out of office, definitely doesn't want to go and help. And these international neighbors are like, help us, help us, help us. They're like, it's like almost people being catty in high school and high school cliques. It's like we're trying to help the high schoolers that don't have leg up, but yet we want to be with the white folks and we don't want diversity in this country, let alone help the underprivileged internationally.
Mm-hmm.
So where can people find your book and where can people find your other media outlets if they choose to get in contact with you, and how can they get in contact with you?
Well, this book about resolving Israeli-Palestinian conflict, I told you, is in the midst of writing, and I hope it will be published by 2025. The title is Resolving the Israeli-Palestinian Conflict, published by Cambridge University Press, and I presume that Amazon will have the copy of the book. This is going to be my 20th book. So until now, I published 19 other books, all of them, well, with exception maybe of two poetry, but I am a poet too. I write poetry. And until now, I published poetry only in Hebrew. So I don't think Amazon carry those books, but all the books in English are available on Amazon. In addition to that, if you Google the name Cohen Almagor, then you'll find me very easily. And I believe in open source, open access. So the majority of my articles, I have about, I didn't count, but I presume 400 articles that I wrote until now in addition to the books.
Yeah.
The majority of them are available free.
Yeah.
And available in platforms like Academia, ResearchGate, SSRN, some of them on LinkedIn. So you'll be able to find me on many sources, and these are free open sources that you can get, and there's no problem to find information that I publish.
And we have your website, and of course there are links to your website. So you guys check out the show notes if you want to see more of Raphael's work and more of his perspective and 19 other books, and you're almost like me writing away. And so all the books, what is your pen name? You said all the English books can be found on Amazon. What is your pen name, or how can people look you up on Amazon?
Cohen Almagor.
So I appreciate your perspective, and I hope you guys enjoy this episode, and please go support Cohen Almagor's work, and please go support your international neighbors if you can. I mean, I know that there's charities that support Gaza Strip and everything else, and I know that there's some Salvation Army is probably in there supporting the Gaza Strip, and it's, we need people like Carmen McGraw on ground, and we need your perspective, and we just need to be nice to our international neighbors and not play this cat and mouse game of the U.S. not being nice. And I appreciate your time, and I hope that you guys enjoyed and as a fabulous episode. Thanks to you guys. Bye, you guys.
Thank you very much.